Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast, the only podcast that's live and indirect from Providence, Rhode Island, via Columbus, Ohio. I am your humble host, John Orlando, and welcome to episode 118. I hope that you're doing well out there. I am, as always, I'm insanely busy, but you know, as the saying goes, it is what it is. I'm glad that you joined me. I hope that the last time you heard this wonderful voice was just a week ago when I was doing the first ever amended edition of the PVD Cast, where I was talking a little more about my Stanley Cup picks. And I'm going to be honest, hockey's going to come back here, and it's going to be a major topic of episode 118, but I'll get into that in a few minutes. I would like to thank real quickly, publicly, Jason, Dan, and Max, the guys at Three Geeks Podcast. They had me on this past week. In fact, on Sunday, as a matter of fact. Those guys are really good. I really appreciate them having me on. It was just such a fun show to be a part of. And as you may know, Max and Dan were on the episode of the PVD Cast live from space. And that's how we kind of interacted. Brian Lau has been on that podcast as well. But they're just some good dudes. And you know what? They're doing it like me. It's like a gorilla podcast. And I don't mean gorilla like a primate. I'm talking about gorilla, like underground, man. You know? Maybe there's not the biggest budget. There's no giant corporate sponsor, you know, especially for me. So, you know, it's just down and dirty, man. Getting their thoughts out there. Getting their opinions or insights out there. Entertaining people. And that's what I appreciate, man. So you get an opportunity. Three Geeks Podcast has their own YouTube channel. Just go over to YouTube, type in Three Geeks Podcast. I believe episode 81 features me, but listen to all of them over there. They got not only that podcast, but they have a bunch of other ones as well. This is Most Unorthodox, I believe, is another one of their podcasts. And they have a lot of other podcasts that feature some friends of the show, so to speak. But definitely check them out, man. Check them out. Three Geeks Podcast, it's definitely worth you taking a look at. All right, so let's talk a little bit about my guest that's joining me here on episode 118. Dominic from Mess Bucket Comics is going to sit down and talk to me about the great things going on with Mess Bucket Comics. He's the man behind it. They've created a trilogy called The Arcane Awakening, which is the best way to describe it is maybe the X-Men meet the Da Vinci Code. So they got that out there, and of course they have another big project that they have that's very hockey-oriented called Donnybrook. And so Dominic is going to come on and talk about his passions in the comic book industry and some of the projects that he has going on, and we're also going to talk quite a bit about hockey. And, you know, maybe he shares the same ideas I have as to who might win the Stanley Cup. I don't know. You'll just have to sit back and enjoy this episode. And, you know, I gotta say, a big thanks to Stephen Hines, because he's the one that clued me into him. I think Brian Lau is also quite familiar with these gentlemen, but Stephen Hines hit me up. He left me a message saying that I definitely needed to talk to Dominic and check out his stuff. And since we're talking about Mr. Hines, you know, don't forget that he has written an amazing memoir chronicling his journey through various organized religions. It's called Rebirth Defect, and this journey is paved with many, many interesting adventures, which you will find in the pages of this book. If you have not picked up your copy yet, well then what are you waiting on, man? Well, I know what you might be waiting on. You might be waiting on Stephen's book to tape, if you will. That's right, he's going to put this memoir on tape so that you can listen to it. I think it's still called book to tape, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure it's probably not an actual cassette tape. I mean, they haven't made those things since the 90s, but... Well, anyways, I digress. Pick up Rebirth Defect in whatever format you would like to. And one simple way to find out where you can do that and keep up with all the information is simply by going to stephenhines.org. That's stephenhines.org. And there you'll find out all the information you need to know about Rebirth Defect. So with that, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of this break, I'll be back with Dominic from Mess Bucket Comics.
Trivia Geeks, the Unpredictable Game Show podcast, is back with a brand new season. They've got a new host, new games, and a new day and time. But that's not all. Now you can download their companion app, TrivNow, and play along in real time. Watch Carrie on YouTube as she tries to convince her partner that his Dark Knight hasn't risen in years. Listen on Diamond Club and Alpha Geek Radio, Wednesday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern. You can also follow the show on Facebook and Twitter and get all the latest updates and showtimes.
Well, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this episode of the PVD Cast. I'm sitting down with Dominic Reggio, the man behind Mess Bucket Comics. How you doing, Dom?
I'm doing great, John. Thanks for having me.
You're quite welcome, man. I appreciate you coming on and talking about a lot of your projects there. Now, you are based out of Michigan, correct?
That's right.
What part of Michigan, may I ask?
I'm in the Royal Oak area, which is about 15 minutes north of Detroit.
Okay. So you're more towards the Detroit side of Michigan, not the not the western side. Okay, I got you.
I went to Western Michigan though for college in Kalamazoo on the west side. Yeah.
Okay. I got you. Why'd you go to Western Michigan? Did you want to go, or was it just one of those things? You know, like myself, you just kind of happened to end up there.
Well, I played football there a year and a half, 2 years. I can't remember. Yep. And then I found out it was a lot more fun to be a student and quit. it was a great decision as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, you still have your knees, right? They're not giving you any trouble after, you know, a couple of years, right?
Right. I had fun playing football, but I just, you know, and when I got there, I was like, I don't know. It just wasn't fun anymore for a lot of different reasons. But
I understand.
I loved Western. I can't say enough.
Okay.
Great thing. Great time.
Glowing endorsement from you.
Yes. Are you from the West Side?
No, I am from Ohio. So I have never. Okay. I've only been to Detroit. I've been to the fine city of Detroit a couple of times. One, to catch the Red Wings at Joe Louis Arena before it closed last year. So.
Oh yeah.
And I feel honored that I got an opportunity to go there. It's such heartbreak for me to see that place close. I'm sure that many other Detroit natives feel the same way.
I played there many times growing up, and even, you know, some men's league stuff. I mean, I absolutely love the Joe. It's there's a different feeling to that stadium than anything else, really. I mean, it's plus they have the trough system. I don't know if you're familiar with that. Having a trough in the men's bathroom.
Oh yeah, no, yes, I'm quite familiar. As a matter of fact, I think Joe Louis Arena has the smallest bathrooms I've ever been in any arena.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, it's an old city. I think it was built in 75, somewhere around there, and they probably new stadiums have like 100 bathrooms. It's great, but the trough system I like better than the urinal system for sure, and that's very important to me when it comes to a stadium.
It's more intimate. It's more intimate while you pee, you know, to be
in the
trough.
More room.
You know,
you get more room out of the bathroom. I feel like it.
All right, well, let's talk a little bit about one of your projects, the Arcane, the Awakening Trilogy. So you describe it kind of as a cross between X-Men and the Da Vinci Code. Could you maybe elaborate a little bit for our listeners what that project was all about?
Yes. So it was book one of the trilogy came out in 2012. And it was just a story I had rattling around in my head. Literally one day I just came home. I was driving, going somewhere, and I had to turn around and go back home, and I just came out of me like a faucet. You know, I just couldn't stop. I just kept writing and writing and writing. Basically, it's, you know, it's one last battle between heaven and hell, winner takes earth. So there's two groups, the ministry, the good guys, and the descendants of heaven and hell, and the demonic light is the descendants. I'm sorry, the ministry is the descendants of heaven, and the demonic light is the descendants of hell. And so it's my take on the ending to the Bible apocalypse story without being preached churchy. I'm not converting anyone. It's nothing like that. The characters just they derive their powers from angels. They're all descendants of angels and demons. So they're Nephilim. And some of the characters take on some of their human ancestors' personality traits. For example, like Mojo, our popular good guy. Mojo's a descendant of Jim Morrison. He drinks whiskey and speaks in all Doors lyrics. So basically, like in my story, the Nephilim are any notable person in human history was a Nephilim, for whatever reason it may be, for good or evil.
Okay.
So, so that's where, these are the descendants of those notable people.
So, what was the inspiration for creating this book? Besides just rattling around in your head, but was there some more inspiration behind it?
Well, trying to figure that out, I believe that it was 12 years of Catholic school. And so what's weird, when you go to Catholic school, one year you'll have algebra, the next year it'll be algebra 2, you need a new book, but when religion class, it's the same book every year. And it's like, it's the Bible and the Bible. It's like, how many times can I hear these stories? Like, I get it. I know it. There's a moral code. And it was just really boring for me. It didn't really do a lot, until that apocalypse story, where the four horsemen of the apocalypse come down, God versus the devil, hellfire. And like, I was like, whoa, they got a new writer all of a sudden. He was really good with descriptive writing. And like, they just took it to a whole new level. And I loved it. And it's, you can have the argument that it has an ending or it doesn't. I believe it's up to interpretation, so it doesn't really have an ending. So I thought, wow, what a cool way to take one of the oldest stories ever and put my own spin on it.
Oh, all right. Excellent. Well, you have a couple of very talented gentlemen that have joined you on this project. Could you maybe talk a little bit about the working relationship you have with them, Keith and Jacob, and maybe also how did you get kind of hooked up with those guys?
Yes, they're very talented. It wouldn't be where it is today without their artistic talent. So, I'm the writer and creator of the series, and I was recommended Jacob Crippen, the artist. He did everything for book one other than lettering and color cover. But he was a very talented guy that was recommended to me by Q Cha, a guy that a well-respected artist. I think he has a very, very long list of accomplishments, Hex Tribe and all kinds of stuff like that. But he recommended Jacob. Jacob liked the story. And, he had some DC and Marvel inking credits, just in some really small projects. But him or I at the time had never really taken on a project this big. So we kind of jumped into it, and he had a lot of adaptation, and so did I, ahead of us to make sure. Because, with a budgetary issue, I wanted to get this huge first story into 52 pages. So Jacob was really, really good with it, good to work with. And he also, he's since retired pretty much, but he has done the covers for books 1, 2, and 3, but the interiors of book 2 and 3 were done by Keith Gratchow, a very talented artist as well, who has some great credits. He's done a bunch of work for Disney, Play Along Toys, and Keith is an absolute workhorse and a pleasure to work with. And he brought a lot of new ideas and excellent artwork to the Arcane Awakening, for sure.
Yeah, I saw in doing some research that Keith was in charge for a while of creating packaging for toys.
Yes.
Yeah, which I thought that was really cool, because I think sometimes you overlook the fact that it takes somebody to produce that.
Right. Right. He's very versatile. I mean, he has I think 3 children's books that he's done. His mom wrote, and then he illustrated, that sell very. He's been right next to me at conventions. They sell like crazy. Obviously, he's done Disney Winnie the Pooh stuff, and then you can go and see the Arcane, which is like a superhero story with lots of action and sometimes R-rated content, blood squirting and action and everything you're looking for. So he's incredibly versatile. Like, I haven't seen every artist, but I haven't seen anyone with that exact skill set, so I'm lucky to have him.
And they're both Michigan guys?
No. Jacob lives out in California. And Keith is in Toronto. So, Keith's 4 hours away from me, so it's not that. We've done a few shows together.
I gotcha. Well, nowadays, it doesn't really matter where you are with technology. You can go, just like we are doing right now. I mean,
right.
I'm in Columbus, Ohio, and you're up in Michigan. So, yeah, it's fascinating how, and you wonder how the old-timers did it, so to speak, when they had to be in the same studio.
Right. Yeah. I mean, my book, it doesn't seem like that long ago, but 2012 for book one. So we started working on it like in 2011. And even then people were like, wow, you guys, when the book came out, like you guys never even met each other until I didn't even meet Jacob until the book was completed at a convention in Chicago. I'm like, yes, your first time meeting him. He's like, wow. And you've worked together and you've done this all through email. Like, wow. You know, like that was still a new thing back then. So
yeah, it's fascinating. It's fascinating how that has happened. So what is the book is three particular tales, ergo it's a trilogy. What do you have any future plans for it? Is there more to the story? Are you planning spinoffs, or is there a bigger end game, I guess you could say?
For sure. Yeah. I mean, I wrote the initial story as a movie script. So I have a movie script for this, and that's my ultimate goal, is to have a live action or animated feature. So I call this like the introduction trilogy. This is each book, it's the whole story arc, but each book, I'd say like a Star Wars trilogy. Like you can watch any one of those movies, well, the good ones, and you kind of get the whole story of what's going on without really seeing everything before or after.
Okay, I gotcha.
And it will continue after this trilogy for sure.
Excellent, excellent. Who was maybe one of the favorite characters that you created? Because I'm always interested to see when creators have a particular favorite. Why that is? Did you have a favorite?
Oh man. I don't think I've been asked that question. I'd like to say, and I haven't even gone into it as much. There's a character, so each, there's a good guy group and a bad guy group. And of the bad guys, a guy called Recluse. And he's kind of the, if every conspiracy theory that you heard was real, like the Bakerton group or the Illuminati and all that stuff, he's all of that into one person. So he's the one that's doing the devil's work behind the scenes, and that no one, like the name Recluse is just the name of the position. You lose, it's kind of like a Men in Black Illuminati position where he's pulling all the strings. And what I really like, what is actually Keith's idea, said this is a great character, but you're just, he doesn't show up well on pages. In a comic book. So I came up with it. All right, this guy was, you know, living in a bunker somewhere and pulling all the strings. I want him to have like a real creepy, like, I saw it. I'm a fan of the Rolling Stones, and I went to a concert, and there's always an old dude in a beat up Rolling Stones shirt that's like just Googling all the young girls, and it's just weird. So I was like,
and
he's
half drunk too. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So right. That's what he looks like now. And he's like fat and balding. And I was like, it's perfect. He doesn't look like obviously any of the other characters. So people are always, you know, it's, you know, Keith was surprised that I really liked that character. He's like, I really like this one too. So he told me that he has the rights to do a solo Recluse book if that ever happens.
Oh, all right, all right.
He's definitely not a fan favorite at this point. People love Ravager and Mojo. You know, Ravager, he's a cannibal. As he consumes people, he turns into a demon. He was actually inspired by my ex-girlfriend. So this is, he's definitely, you know, I have a big demon bust of Ravager on my table as well. It's for, people always are like, at the very least, they're like, what the hell is this thing? And then, you know, it's where I can tell them about my book. But
I was going to actually, that was the next question. I was going to ask about your mascot that you have at your table.
Yes.
So how did you, how did you get that? Like, did you have to, I mean, I don't know. I assume that's kind of somebody like a Hollywood type of prop. How did you get your hands on that?
Well, the guy that made it, he worked for one of the biggest haunted houses here in Detroit. It's called Erebus. Mm-hmm. And I think he's done some prop work in Hollywood. I think he's from California, if I remember what, kind of so long ago. But he made that for me. He loved the character, loved the story. And, you know, it's definitely a one of the best decisions I've made to have that. I want to move on and keep it going. So I mean, there's little plushie dolls. Everything Ravager related has been a success. I have plushie dolls, like, I don't even know, like, they're these cute little, like, if you'd imagine what a child's plushie doll, like it's Ravager, but he has like a cute little looking face. His mouth isn't like a crazy evil looking thing. It's like a harmless looking little demon, and they fly off my table. Oh my God. Every time I'm like, I should have gotten the plushie business. And I also want to make that into a big latex mask. So it's right now it's made out of, it's 20 pounds of solid clay epoxy. Uh-huh. And it's an absolute pain in the ass to take with me on the road.
I was going to ask that, if it's a pain in the ass to tote around.
Oh God, you have no idea. I mean, it's totally worth it. You know, people, if nobody has anything quite like that at their table, and it's an eye catcher, but man, traveling with that thing, you know, and he's very grumpy too. He complains about everything. But I want to make a latex so I can actually, you know, people are always, you know, oh, how much is this? And, you know, it's a lot of money. It's, you know, $3,000 that I sell it for. But I want something that's more attainable. So if I make this latex mask and it's hollow, you can actually put it on. Mm-hmm. I think it'd be, it's, you know, with latex, you can bounce it off the ground and beat it up as much as you want, pretty much. So
hey,
I'm looking.
Go ahead. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there.
No, I was looking forward to the latex mask. I don't have to take the clay thing around anymore.
Well, as a side note, I was going to say, folks, you should definitely check out Mess Bucket's website, because I believe either your website or Facebook page had some of those plushy pictures of some of the plushy dolls, and they are actually somewhat charming.
Yes. Yes. Opposite of the character.
Opposite
which is
of
what
the
I
character.
Liked. Yeah.
All right, well, let's talk about your other project that you certainly, it's a complete other end of the spectrum, I guess is fair to say,
yes.
Correct?
Absolutely.
You have a project called Donnybrook, which is a hockey-themed
yes.
comic book, which,
right.
That's the greatest thing
right.
ever. But would you tell our listeners a little bit about a quick synopsis or summary of what Donnybrook is?
Yes, absolutely. I'm excited for this. So Donnybrook came together. You know, I played football at a high level. I also played hockey my whole life and lacrosse. But there's no sport quite like hockey. And at least the players and the fans, it's just it's an anomaly all in its own. When you compare it to any other team sport, there's just a complete separate culture. And what I really want to do is, you know, I tell people it's like Office Space meets Slapshot. Like what I love Office Space did, it just absolutely captured the culture, good or bad, that comes with working in an office. Mm-hmm. You know, just the TPS reports and the mundane feeling and, you know, all that stuff. So what I want to do with Donnybrook is just capture the madness that goes on in the culture and the on the road when you're playing hockey. Now, I played juniors for a half a minute, but my writing partner, Ryan Craig, he played semi-pro for a little while. And, you know, it's one of those things where there's different names and faces, but it's the same personalities on every team. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's so, when we're towing the line, when we're writing this, I'm like, man, this is so out there, it's hard to believe that there's actually people like this. Like, you know, for example, you know, a lot of these pros, they come, the Canadian boys off the farm, right?
Yeah.
All they wanted to do is play hockey, so they don't have to be a farmer their whole life. And so all they really know in life is hockey. So, like, even off the ice, anywhere else, they just, like, still speak in all hockey lingo. Like, I mean, I've heard it and I've seen it. Like, so there's a scene, and the guy's name is Double D, and he's one of the star players, but he's just, all he can speak in is hockey lingo. I tell the waitress that brings over a tray of shots. Good shift.
Nice.
You know, so and then there's another player who's just the wild man. He could just play in a game and party all night, show up to practice the next day and be fine. And he just has to show his dick to everybody.
Yeah.
He's always has to show you his dick. Whether you're the coach or the backup goalie or the trainer, like, so it's a cast of characters like that, and it's just so out of it. And that was one of the characters too. I was like, we can't have a character like this. It doesn't make sense. And he's like, Dom and Slapshot. He walks out on the. He goes like, with the exception of my wife, when I walk out there and I wag my dick at this audience, everybody's gonna leave. I'm like, I guess it is possible.
Yeah.
and they were doing that in the 70s too.
Now you have it crowdfunded through Indiegogo. How is that campaign going? And can you tell the listeners at home, like, is it wrapping up soon or is there still time to get on board?
Yeah, it's wrapped up now. Okay. I mean, you can check it out on Indiegogo. We fell short of our goal, but with Indiegogo, you still get what you raised. So I was shooting for a 52-page graphic novel, but I'm going to split it up into two.
Okay.
I'm going to have two 26-page books, so I'm going to split it and then put it out as like a full graphic novel. So, if you'd like to support it, you can always give me an email at domriggio, domriggio at messbucketcomics.com, and I can send you an invoice, and you can still get any of those rewards that are offered in the current Indiegogo. So there's a lot of fun ones in there. I mean, you can be a guy, you can be somebody in the crowd yelling at the players. You know, I forget what else was on there. It just ended about a week ago.
Well, I will tell you right now, I like the themes to them because you had Messier's Winwell, which that was just a throwback to years gone by for me. I love that idea.
Right. Well, that's actually, that's where I got the name of Mess Bucket Comics.
Oh, really?
So,
okay.
Yeah. That's funny. So I was playing drop-in I think 6 years ago. And it's real obscure hockey lingo, even if you are a big fan. I was out there, and this guy's like, look at that guy's mess bucket out there. I'm like, what are you talking about? There's a dude out there with the old Winwell Winwell helmet. And, you know, for those of you listening that aren't familiar with that old helmet, this obscure thing we're talking about, it's like the same one from the 1980s Tron movie that those characters wore.
And, which I always wonder because it's the same as the Cooper.
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty much the same exact design, yep. And I was like, mess bucket? And he's like, yeah, it's Messier's old lid. And I was like, that's what I'm naming my company. He's like, okay, whatever. And it went out on the shift. I never saw him again.
My buddy used to call that helmet the robot helmet because he goes, it looks like a robot's head. You know?
Yes. It's a horrible helmet. It's got a forehead like a drive-in movie theater.
You know what? I will share. When I started to play hockey, that was my first helmet. It was the Cooper version of that Winwell. And I was even dumb enough I kept the earpieces in, which didn't help matters to make it look any cooler.
Yep.
But
yep. Oh, yeah. Well, everybody had that for a while, for sure.
Yeah.
The only bucket worse than that was the old Jofa that Gretzky wore for a while. And
yes.
That thing was nasty. It was like a biking helmet.
It was. Yeah, I never understood how it protected you, ever.
Yeah, did nothing.
Yeah, exactly. You might as well just not even wear one.
Wear a baseball hat. It's doing the same thing.
Exactly. Well, let's talk a little bit about hockey. What are your thoughts so far of the Stanley Cup playoffs?
Oh, man, I heard you speak ill of the Washington Capitals a little while ago.
I did. I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan of the Caps. Yeah. I'm going to go on I've gone on record many, many times. Not a fan.
Uh-huh. So are you a fan of Ovechkin?
No, I'm not a fan of Ovechkin at all. No.
Are you a fan of the Penguins?
I am.
Oh, God. Do you like Crosby?
Yes.
Oh, Jesus.
But let me just explain.
He missed his calling. He should have been an Olympic diver like Greg Louganis, and he would have a gold medal. But you know, he'd have more gold medals. He could have been the first guy to win a diving gold medal and a Olympic hockey gold medal.
I cut you off. Sorry. No. I was gonna say, hey, I'm not delusional. I told a person at work the other day. I said, listen, Crosby's an asshole, but he's our asshole. Okay, so. Yes, he does wrong. He plays dirty, but he's our asshole, man. That's what that's how we look at it.
I don't mind if he's an asshole. Like the right, like I mean, I don't know. It's the whining, and there's guys that dive that don't. It also doesn't come with whining necessarily.
Okay.
Like I mean, this is, and he's not the only guy in sports that does this. People do this in basketball and soccer and everything. It's just, I just can't stand when it's the best player on the ice. Like, what the? You don't need to do that. Like, you are the best player on the ice. If somebody breathes on you, you're getting the call. I don't get it, but that's a whole nother topic. I'm not a Capitals fan as much as I am just not a fan of Sidney Crosby. I'm a Red Wings fan, but they're the drizzling shits now, you know.
Right,
so.
Right. I mean, and I feel bad they didn't make the playoffs this year. I got to be honest, because that streak was so nice, you know. Because, you know, what, 25 years? Yeah. That's a great streak, man.
It is. But I feel like they were getting happy with mediocrity for a while.
True. Very true.
They're just happy to make it and be like, oh, okay, great. And it's, you know, they were, you know, they're like the Blackhawks up. Like how the Blackhawks are now. Any given year, they can win the Cup. The Red Wings were like that for about 18, 19 years, in my opinion.
Yeah, except for this year. I was surprised that the Hawks got bounced by the Predators. I'm going to be honest, Don.
Oh, my God. Yeah, what was that?
I don't know. I was really surprised by that. I would never in a million years. I thought the Blackhawks were going to go right through the West and end up in the finals. And I was absolutely stunned by that.
Yeah. I think it's just one of those things where when you have so much success that you think it comes easy and something like that needs to happen in order to get that fire going again, you know, to be able to get back to the promised land or the Stanley Cup. I think they have so many guys that have won it so many times, you know. But I'm happy to see. I know they lost in overtime last night, but I really want to see Edmonton make it.
I do, too.
There was a show on the NHL Network called Oil Change. I don't know if it's still on there. Did you ever watch that?
I never watched it, no.
It was like a behind-the-scenes reality show, but they weren't like normal reality show where they're just amping up all the, you know, all the issues. It was just they're showing what was happening, and I became a fan of them. Like this, it started when they got their first number one pick in the draft, however many years ago. They kept going year after year after year, and all these. And they had all this talent. They just couldn't put it all together. It's really cool if you go back and watch it. And I'd really like to see that team make it. They have so much young talent. I mean, they're almost – it's starting to mirror the, you know, the dream teams from the 80s. Mm-hmm.
Who is the greatest of all time to lace up the skates?
Oh, my God. Now, you have to look at it. I mean, can you compare a forward to a goalie?
Okay, good point. Forward? You got me on that one, Dom. I'm not going to lie. Okay, you got me on that one. All right.
Is it okay to give one at each position?
Sure.
I mean, I'm
sure.
Not going to go left wing, right wing.
Go ahead. Forward, defense, and then goaltender. All right.
Okay. Goaltender, I think I'd take Brodeur.
Okay.
He's very, very consistent, and he was – I mean, every hockey player loses his shit once in a while. You know, he definitely did against Sean Avery. I don't remember all that madness. It was very out of character for him, like, to actually lose it. And, you know, you'd also talk about Patrick Waugh, but I don't think he had the mindset. I think if he would have had his – mentally, I don't think he was as strong,
okay,
Patrick Waugh. I think he would have a lot more success if he just could keep it together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where Brodeur, I think, was just on the ice and upstairs was the guy to go to. The greatest defenseman, oh, my God, that's a tough one because I was a defenseman as well. But I think I'd have to go with Nick Lidstrom.
Okay.
He's not my favorite. My favorite ever was Paul Coffey. I mean, what a pleasure to watch that guy was.
Oh, yeah.
Highlight reel. Every time he got the puck was a highlight reel. But Nick Lidstrom, again, like, I don't think I ever saw him get frustrated about anything. I mean, he was cool, calm, collected, and he was incredible with his feet. That somebody would, you know, take a slap shot around, and it's coming around the boards. He'd kick it right out to his stick like it was nothing. The puck never got by him. He rarely got burned. He had somebody just go right around him, and it's just, it's amazing. He's not the guy you notice right away. Like, if you're used to watch the Red Wings, the first guy you would notice back in those days would be like Pavel Datsyuk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a flashy player.
Mm-hmm.
Lidstrom, you might not notice for a couple games because he's mistakeless, but you're not, you know, he's not a highlight reel kind of guy. So I'd go with Nick Lidstrom. And then, oh my God, you have to go with Gretzky. I don't think. You just have to.
We overlooked one. Greatest enforcer ever.
Oh, God. Oh, man. I got the most enjoyment and entertainment of watching Bob Probert.
I was going to say, are you going to go with the Red Wings and go Bob Probert?
Oh, God, yeah. And I know I sound like a homer, you know, when I put Lidstrom and Probert on there. But, I mean, I saw Probert light up kids since I was a child in person at the Joe. And it was just it was as important as your team scoring a goal at times.
Yeah, exactly.
It would fire up the crowd and the players so much watching him just, you know, speed bag a guy.
Uh-huh.
That, you know, I think that's something that the league, I know they're letting fights happen a little bit more, but that's what's unique. One of the many unique things to hockey. It's like a slam dunk in basketball or a home run in baseball. You just want to see two guys, you know, drop the gloves and go at it. You know, there's something to be said for that, where they're self-policed and there's not a hell of a lot of false bravado in hockey.
Nope.
You know, you can chirp and you can talk shit and, you know, put some cheap shots out there, but eventually you're going to have to drop the gloves and go.
Yeah.
So you got to be careful.
I agree with you. I agree with you on the goaltender. I certainly would.
Okay.
Martin Brodeur as well.
Yeah.
I think we'll differ on our others. My I think the greatest defenseman. I'm going to go Chris Chelios.
Oh, I know Chelly personally.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm going to go with him because I just think he was so dominant for so long in the 90s that just, yeah. You know.
Interesting. Okay.
I'm going with him.
I could argue on that one. There's about a handful of guys. What about Bobby Orr?
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's hard to pick just one. And, you know, Dennis Potvin as well. And,
yeah.
You know,
Ray Bourque.
Yeah. My greatest of all time forward-wise is Mario Lemieux.
Oh, yeah.
And I think the best enforcer is Ty Domi.
Really? Ty Domi?
I go with Ty Domi.
Oh, man.
Only because he can score sometimes, too. Kind of like the Brendan Shanahan. You know, he would knock your teeth out, but also score goals for you.
Yeah, I think, well, Bob Probert made an all-star team one year. Did you know that?
I did. I actually remember that.
Yeah, I think he had 29 goals or something.
Mm-hmm.
He was on a line with Steve Yzerman.
Yes.
But.
Yes. So, all right, as we start to wrap things up, I got to know the story behind this. Your Facebook page, you have a variety of celebrities appearing with your book, The Arcane. How did you get Ric Flair to take a photo of the book? Because as a wrestling mark, I must know. Could you walk me through the conversation?
Yes, it's actually hilarious. You got a minute here?
Yeah, I got plenty of time. Go ahead.
So it was at so in general, when I'm at a comic convention, I pretty much have to be at my table, even if I have somebody helping. I've got to be there because if there's a sale, people want me to sign it or take a picture. It's pretty important that I'm there. But so I don't have too much time to walk around and do this, but I try to set aside time where I can, you know, go and network and get some pictures with celebrities if they're down. So I'm a huge wrestling mark as well, and Ric Flair, you know, we're making lists. He's right at the top of my list. So I'm walking by, and I see there's no line for Ric Flair. It's because he's not there at the table. But as I'm walking by and closer, I see Nate walk into his table. I'm like, oh, shit, okay. So I go right through, you know, the zigzag line, and I'm right there. I'm like, and his handler's there. I'm like, Rick. He's like, hey, man, what's going on? And I'm like, I'd like to get a picture, if I could, with you holding my comic book. And the handler's like, it's $50. And this was at Motor City Comic Con last year. I go, $50? And I see Rick roll his eyes. I'm like, that's ridiculous. I go, it should be two, three times that.
Oh.
I'm like, can I pay more? And just for no extra value, I'd like to give you $70 for this picture if I could. And Flair loses it. He's like, I love this guy. I love this guy. He's laughing. He's like, I've never heard anyone say anything like that ever. And so I come over, and he's trying to make me not pay, but I made sure I paid. And I got the picture, and he was hilarious, and he's, you know, put me in a headlock and all this stuff, and He's like, all right, your time's up. Get the hell out of here. So I'm like, thanks, Rick. I appreciate it. And then later on that night, he came over. He saw me. He's like, you're that guy that paid more. He's like, yeah. He's like, let me get you a beer. And he ended up getting me like 3 or 4 beers. And I was like, Rick, thank you. I have to drive home and drink water now, or call a cab. So it was awesome. It was absolutely great. I didn't want to go back to my table. I was riding high, you know?
Yeah. Nice. Wow. Yeah. What a story, Dom. That's awesome. That's all I can say.
All right. If you get to meet Flick Rick, you got to do it. He's awesome.
Man, I'm envious because there was nobody like the Nature Boy as a kid.
Oh God! Oh God! I don't know. He does everything. He's the best. He's just not. He's never been boring to me.
No, of course not. Because how could you find a grown man to be boring when he would randomly on WCW Nitro just strip down to his underwear and drop elbows on his clothes? That's
God, wasn't that great?
That's epic. So
throwing his shoes into the audience, ripping up hundreds. Handcuffing himself in boxer shorts to the ring rope.
Oh yeah. Oh man. Well, Dom, let's tell the folks that are listening here as we start to wrap things up where they can find you on the internet.
Yes. Okay. So everything Mess Bucket related, messbucketcomics.com. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram at Mess Bucket Comic. I also have a podcast of my own, if you don't mind me.
Go right ahead.
We're on the Echo Network. It's my network. We have a studio here in downtown Royal Oak, which I said is like 15 minutes north of Detroit. And my show is called Motown Mojo Live, named after the character I was talking about earlier. And we're from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Detroit time. And I have had all kinds of artists, anyone in entertainment. It's an entertainment podcast. Directors, actors, wrestlers. We've had Rhino live in studio. We have a live music also in the second half of the show. So it's something cool. You'll hear some of the many, many talented Detroit bands every Monday night from 7 to 9 at MotownMojoLive.com.
Which, if I may, I think our good friend of the show, Brian Lau, was on your podcast, correct? Yes.
Yes, he was. Brian Lau was on a month or so ago. He was a really good guest, talented guy, very passionate about his stuff. Yep, I loved having Brian on. Can't wait. I hope you wish him all the great success in the future.
All right. Well, Dom, is there anything else you want to say to the listeners here before I throw it to a quick break and then come back and wrap up the episode?
Yes. For the greatest, absolute greatest graphic novel trilogy of all time, The Arcane Awakening, go to messbucketcomics.com. Buy all three. I'll sign it for you. You're going to absolutely love it. Woo!
And on that note, I'm going to throw it to a quick break and I'll be back to wrap up the episode. So if you will, please stick around.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, my conversation with Dominic Reggio of Mess Bucket Comics. Definitely check them out through their website, through their Facebook pages, whatnot. Check out the Arcane Awakening, and also, of course, go over to Indiegogo and definitely support Donnybrook. I mean, I'm a huge Puckhead, you know that, so I definitely will be supporting it. And by the way, as a side note, I don't know why I always want to call it Indiegogo, as if like it's Whiskey-A-Go-Go, that club out in L.A. or whatever. I don't know why. It's Indiegogo. I don't know why I want to stick a letter A in there, another syllable, but I do. I don't know why. I've always done it that way. But anyways, definitely check out Donnybrook over there, ladies and gentlemen, at Indiegogo, and help make that a reality. All right, with that, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if there's much more I got to say, so let's go ahead. Yeah, you can hear the music there. Oh yeah, it's time now for Orlando's Fave. That's right. It's the installment that we always wrap up every episode of the PVD cast with, and this is where I tell you about something I think is cool, something I think is noteworthy, something you should check out. And it's going to be music related. I know last time it was music related, I talked about how much I really enjoyed local native song Dark Days. Well, just got my hands on this CD,
of a band that I gotta be honest with you, I always kind of liked their singles, but was never a huge fan. But I got a copy given to me of the new album by the XX called I See You. And I gotta tell you, that's my fave for this episode. It's a solid album. It's a really good album. And there's some songs that are low key, there's some that are upbeat. It's got that really kind of, it's very hard to describe. If you like Fanagram, I think you definitely would love the XX. This new album is really good. I gotta just say that I was super impressed by it. I was blown away. In fact, I am going to go back in the back catalog and get their other two CDs, their other two albums, and listen to them too, and really give the XX a go. So there you go. I think you should definitely check that out. I See You by the band, the XX. All right, well, with that, let me start wrapping things up. I'm going to let you know where you can get in touch with me. You can always email me, johnorlando@pvdcast.com. You can tweet me at pvdmvp. You can also get in touch with me if you want. And you can also keep up on all the things going on with the PVDcast over on the Facebook page, facebook.com/PVDcast. Don't forget, you can get this particular podcast through 5 different ways. First, obviously, the online home of yours truly, PVDcast.com. iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, and SoundCloud are the other usual outlets where you can snag this podcast. And no matter how you listen, just please let some folks know. Rate, review, subscribe, tell friends, take some spray paint and graffiti it on the side of a wall, whatever. I can't believe I just asked you to vandalize property. But in all seriousness, please don't break any rules. Don't commit any felonies or misdemeanors because of me. All right, I'm not bailing your ass out of jail. So anyways, just let people know how much you love the PVD cast. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to wrap things up. And I'm going to get on out of here, and I will chat at each and every one of you later!